This is Ivan Watson. A Shiite cleric stands next to the blood-stained pavement where one of three suicide bombers struck on Tuesday and addresses a small crowd. The Americans aren't letting the Iraqi people take responsibility for security, he says. That's one of the reasons for these attacks against the Shia. We are peaceful people, but we're also strong, the cleric adds. And when it's necessary for us to drive the Americans out, we'll kick them out. The crowd applauds and cheers. Nearby, several black-clad Shiite gunmen keep a watchful eye on traffic moving up and down the street. In the days before and after Tuesday's bloody attacks, U.S. and other foreign troops agreed to stay far away from the targeted shrines in Baghdad and Karbala. They left security almost entirely in the hands of thousands of militiamen from different Shiite groups. Since the explosions, these same parties have demanded that the U.S. expand the militia's security responsibilities. Dr. Hamid El-Bayati is a spokesman for the Supreme Council of the Islamic Revolution in Iraq and its 10,000-strong force of fighters known as the Badr Brigade.
I'm calling for a full coordination, a full cooperation between the coalition forces and our forces and other Iraqi forces in order to maintain security and to serve Iraq, the Iraqi people, and even the coalition forces themselves.
In the first months after the overthrow of Saddam Hussein, the occupation authority announced plans to disarm Iraqi militias, even those like the Badr Brigade, which were uneasy U.S. allies at the time of the invasion.
The militia policy will not change.
This week, U.S. spokesman Dan Senor repeated this disarmament policy and announced that it was included in a new interim constitution to be adopted by Iraq's governing council at a signing ceremony scheduled for tomorrow.
It is confirmed in the transitional administrative law that no military or security organization independent of the national government should be free to operate. And so we will be working the months ahead to wind down those organizations.
But it's not just the Shiite groups that want to hold on to their weapons.
We need to disarm our enemies before we disarm those that are on the right side of this war on terrorism.
Kubad Talabani is a spokesman for the Patriotic Union of Kurdistan, one of the two main Kurdish factions that have governed northern Iraq since the end of the First Gulf War. The Kurds have been trying to hold on to their force of more than 50,000 Peshmerga fighters by trying to turn them into a kind of regional national guard. In negotiations over the new interim constitution, Washington and the Iraqi governing council agreed to put off making a final decision on this issue. So for the time being, Talabani says, the Peshmerga aren't going anywhere.
It only makes sense that the Peshmerga continue to provide security for that region for the time being, because it is a system that is working.
Despite twin suicide attacks that killed and injured hundreds of Kurds in the northern city of Erbil last January, Kurdish-controlled northern Iraq continues to be the most stable region in the country. Bayati says his party would like to copy the Kurdish model in Shia-dominated southern Iraq.
This is a good example that the Iraqi militia are capable of maintaining security in Iraq. This is a good example to follow in the rest of Iraq.
But Bayati is leaving out an important lesson from recent Kurdish history. Throughout the 1990s, after Saddam Hussein's forces withdrew from northern Iraq, rival Kurdish factions fought each other for control of the semi-autonomous region. Since the U.S. invasion, Iraq's Shiite parties have been engaged in their own power struggle in the south. These rivalries have periodically erupted into deadly clashes near some of the holiest shrines in Shiite Islam. Ivan Watson, NPR News, Baghdad.